Listen, you don't serve a God who's lost. You don't serve a God who plays around. A lot of times you get this mentality that says, well, God's just kind of toying with me. He's not toying with you. He's trying to get you to see it like he sees it. And so if that means he has to interrupt your process and the way you see things, he will do that. He will do that. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God speaks it, he said, I'm going to do it. If you don't like what he speaks, it's not his issue. It's on you. Many of you, God has spoken to you about certain things, but you don't necessarily like what he said. Or he spoke to you about certain things, about where you're going, about what he wants to do in your life, but you're having a hard time seeing it. And God said, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Because many times we're looking for God to come through at the very moment we pray about it, right? Come through. And he doesn't come through at the very moment. And most of the time is I want you to wait and endure in the process so that when you do come through to the other side, you've learned some valuable lessons about who I am and my faithfulness. I'm not Santa Claus. I don't just give you what you want when you want. I'm not a slot machine. Just because you pray a certain amount or you give a certain amount doesn't dictate how much I'm going to bless you. I can't be manipulated. So if we're trying to manipulate God in order to change our circumstances, you're looking at the wrong God. You can look to people for that because they'll do it for you. If you ever want to be controlled, just get tied into people. They'll help you. If you ever want to feel trapped, just get into an unhealthy relationship because that'll work. If you ever want to be let down and disappointed, look to man and not to God. That will really help you. If you ever want to feel bewildered or kind of confused, just get addicted to something. That'll help you. If you ever want to numb the real issues that are going on in your life, just open the door to the enemy in your life. He'll help you sedate what you're really feeling. I think it's one of the reasons why Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples and they're having these conversations, that finally the disciples say, hey, listen, how are we supposed to actually pray to you? What are we supposed to do here? And so that's why when we look at the book of Luke, he gives you the parameters of how to pray. And Maria, if you put that up for me, these are not religious guidelines for you to go by when you pray. Prayer is not about being robotic. It is not about being systematic to the point of where there's no freedom in your prayer. Sometimes, Lord, I need your help is a prayer. Jesus is telling you and trying to give you, hey, when you approach God, this is how you should approach him. Because if you want effective prayer, this is the process that we have to follow. And there is a process that takes place when you come into communication with God and actually to get a response from God. Because the Bible says that if you come to him, you must believe that he is, number one, and two, that he is a rewarder of those that actually diligently seek him. If we come to God and we don't expect to receive anything, what's the point? If you've ever been in conversation with someone and there is no reciprocation, you think there's something wrong with the other individual. What's the point of that conversation? I'm trying to bridge the gap here and communicate with you on your level. And if the other person does not respond with anything, you just wasted your time and you wasted your energy. God said, let's not waste time. Don't babble on like the Pharisees. Don't give me this elaborate scheme of who you are. I don't care. Let's communicate, and this is how you should communicate. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples spoke to him, Lord, he said, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, this is what you should pray. Father, may your name be honored. Week one, may your kingdom come. Week two, give us each day our daily bread. Three, week four, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And this is the big one. Misty asked me this week, how do you feel about this one? Because this one's heavy. Because most of the time when we deal with communication with God, we are dealing with unresolved things in our heart that stop us from connecting. And we want to connect, but we haven't disconnected from the unhealthy. And so in order for us to connect, we have to disconnect from the unhealthy. It's the reason why I believe Jesus said, don't forsake coming together. Because there's something that happens when you come together that doesn't happen when you're by yourself. There's a healthiness that comes when the body is growing and together, as opposed to you trying to do life by yourself. And the enemy wants to try to isolate you so you can do life by yourself, so it's just you and Jesus. And I don't have a problem with you and Jesus, because that's one, but you're missing out on the health that the body gives when you're together. And the one thing you have to recognize about the body being together, that there's also opportunity for offense. You can't live life very long and not be offended by something or be tempted to be offended by something. This is life. If you're expected to go through life not being angry or offended, you're missing the point of life. I don't live life because I'm afraid of being offended. I live life because Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to the full. I want you to actually be out enjoying life. I'm setting a framework here because it's important. My desire is for you not to be isolated, cooped up in your house with your cats and reruns of your favorite Netflix show. I want you to be out in life. I can remember, and I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and you know, sometimes your neighbors are windows to the soul. And this particular neighbor was coming in, and me and Misty were outside working out and just doing something at our house. And we were talking about this generation and how this generation is missing out on life because of their obsession with social media, their obsession with screens. I said, when I was younger, I was out of the house almost immediately when I got up. And after I was out, I was always out. Just experiencing life. I got hurt being outside. It was fun. Okay? I was outside living life. My first chipped tooth was because I slipped on my mother's IROC Camaro that she had when it was snowing and cold. And I went, boom, on the hood of her car, chipped his tooth. Still struggling today to get it right. But it was outside that I learned to deal with pain. And to realize that it's a beautiful place, but at the same time, there's risk. There's risk. And Jesus said there's always going to be risk. Always risk. But I can't not live life and not be okay with risk. It's impossible. I can't expect life to go perfectly because there is no such thing as perfection besides Jesus. So when I talk about forgiveness, the first thing we need to do is, number one, is you got to pardon me. Pardon me. What does that mean? You have to release me from offense. What does that look like for you? So I want you to take it from this perspective. No one is going to be able to meet your expectations fully. It's impossible. It's impossible. You're going to have to reconcile that the only person who can exceed your expectations is Jesus. That's it. People will fall short every time. So you're going to have to pardon. You're going to have to pardon Christian leaders from not giving you what you think you need to succeed and overcome in life. Because newsflash, they're not able to do that. They can drop things into your life to help you deal with some of the things you're you're dealing with and change your perspective, but they cannot change you and they can't fix you. So when you elevate a Christian leader to the point of glorification status and they can do no wrong, you're immediately setting yourself up for disappointment. Because God will immediately begin to expose their weakness. I've been in church too long to put my hope in any person, any leader. And God has afforded me the privilege to see weakness on a deep level. So when the Lord calls you into something, you come into it with a realistic expectation. I am not going into this because I need the praise from a person. I'm not going into this because I have to somehow prove myself on a larger level that I can handle it. But I'm going into it because I realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has called me into something bigger than myself. And that if he called me into something, that he's going to provide for me along the way and sustain me in the midst of hardship, persecution, fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. And it's not just church. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has called you into a certain family, he will give you the grace in order to deal with that family. You don't have the grace to deal with your sister's kids. The grace is to deal with your own kids. So they're not yours. And God will also give you the grace to deal with your bosses. If God calls you into something, it is always bigger than you. Bigger than you. So you got to right off the bat realize that if it's bigger than you, then you're probably going to fall short. You're going to fall short. You're not going to make the standard. You're going to have to pardon the people who offend you. Release them from offense. That's what pardon means. I release you from that offense and I let go of it. And this is a hard process because we get tied in early with people's acceptance and affirmation. Early. Just think back over your life about how early it was that you needed that affirmation. If you don't think so, just get around a grandkid and how much they need and want that affirmation. And we get tied in early. And if we're not careful, those formidable years are very important for the development of that person. But it's not until you get older, and Maria, you can always account for this, that you learn it's not about dependence. It becomes about interdependence. But how do I do it in a healthy way? And my identity is not tied into you, but it's tied into who I am and who Jesus has made me to be. And this is a battle that's taking place in culture right now. People are trying everything they can do to find out who they are, and they're wrecking their life because of it. And if you go down to the root of it, it has something to do with rejection. So I have to allow God to get into those places where I've been damaged and allow him to fix and heal so I understand proper worship. I don't worship your opinion of me. I don't worship your opinion of me when I was 5 because now I'm grown out of that. I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he's the only one who could be praise. And what happens is at a young age, the enemy gets in quick to try to derail that. You don't think so? 5 and 7 years old, people abused, raped. They can't see straight. 2nd grade, I'm not a guy, I'm a girl. You know, you really are. And all of a sudden, identity issues. You know, you should really question your parents on what they're making you do. And all of a sudden, the thought process begins to change because they're not strong enough to be able to rebut truth from lie. And all of a sudden, the enemy gets in and the wheels turn. And now, man, little Janie was so cute when she was 2, but now she's 6 and she's a homosexual. Or she's 8, like in the 3rd, and you don't think this works, right? So in 4th grade, a couple weeks ago, I told my dad I was a homosexual. You don't, this is happening right now. It's cute, right? Let them do what they want to do because it's about being inclusive. No, it's not. It's sick, and it's putting them in bondage, and the enemy gets in. Well, I mean, kids will be kids. They're your kids. We're in a battle for this generation, not just this generation, but for the hearts and minds of people in the world today over identity. And you're going to hear this message preached consistently because it all goes back to that. Jesus did not come to reaffirm your former identity, but to give you a new identity in Christ. And that's the fight. I'm not who I was then. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are becoming new. And I'm becoming new. But that means I have to let go of that offense. I have to let go of what they did to me. I have to let go how I felt. I'm validating you to be able to let go of those things, process those emotions, but move on. You get stuck because something happened to you. Who has not had anything happen to them? You live in a country that is soft. You want to talk about hardship? Just take a little trip over to a third world or even a second world country. And hear the stories of trauma and things and abuse and mistreatment that these people and kids have had to go through. And then tell me whether your life's that bad. You'll begin to forgive quicker. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I know I said soy, but you gave me almond and I've been angry. No, man. No Christmas card this year. You think it's dumb or stupid or funny, but you know what? It's true. I can't believe you didn't recognize me for the fact that I did this for you. And meanwhile, you've got 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds being sold into sex trafficking in this state, in this nation. And people being trafficked, and not only that, but killed for the sake of Jesus Christ. But you're upset because you weren't recognized for something that you did. If anyone has a beef on forgiveness or being able to hold on forgiveness, it's those people who don't have any means for clean water, food, adequate housing, social services. But you, adequate food, live in some sort of housing, social services everywhere, and you have an opportunity for community, and you live in a country right now that you're able to worship freely. But I'm angry. Why? Because of what? And people leave churches over the stupidest stuff. Besides the truth, I just couldn't connect. I just couldn't. There was just something about it that just didn't sit right. And really what it comes down to is that your dysfunction is crying out. And because it's not being met with other dysfunction, that it has a need to be fed. And so it will take you places where it can be fed. And so you will be fed and you will have a feeding frenzy and there'll be dysfunction all around for everyone. Everyone, you want some, you get a dysfunction. Everyone has dysfunction. Here you go. And we're all walking around praising Jesus, but we're really not praising Jesus. We're tied into dysfunction. I can't wait till this is over, man, because I really want to go out and just spend some time with you, man. The problem is that you've relegated Jesus to a Jesus you just need when you need him, because someone else has filled that spot. You've got to release him. And I would say this, we have all this stuff going around. Man, my church is like 500, my first church is like 600, and it's awesome, but you're dead. If you were forced to fight or forced to stand in the middle of hardship, you wouldn't make it. Because all the enemy has to do is come up and pepper your childhood when you were 7 and you were abused and you're done. Because you don't have the foundation to be able to hold and stand and know that you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Jesus has not fully become Lord yet. He has just become the crutch when you need him. Hold on, I need Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, like I was saying, and we live life like this, and we go from place to place, crooked, malnourished, talking to people just about stuff. And meanwhile, we got all the stuff happening on the inside of us. And when that person is also dealing with similar stuff, there's that attraction. And now you got problems. Now you got entanglement. Now you have issues. And now what they have, now you desire. And there's just this, now you're caught. And because you can't get out of it, it's hard for you to function. And anywhere you go to a place that's actually good for you or you hear truth, you can't take it because it's just too much for you. Why? It's not comfortable because you become so comfortable with dysfunction. It's so easy just to stay there. It's a reason why so many babies are born when it's cold out. People want to comfort one another. That's why you have to be careful in hardship in life. What do you turn to when it's hard or difficult to be able to comfort you? So you have to first, you're going to have to let people go. The expectation, listen, you can't give it to me. Haven't you gotten there yet? I thank Jesus for the stuff that I've gone through early. So that I could realize where the hope and where the real hope is. So I didn't have to spend the majority of my life trying to figure out who do I turn to? Who do I turn to? I understood young. Listen, it's just me and Jesus. I'm not right all the way, but I know it's just me and Jesus. And we're going to have to walk through some stuff, but I'm going to walk. Thank God. The second thing is some of y'all need to pardon God. I gotta release, you gotta release God, because you're still pissed. And we can say that. Because some of y'all, when you come to God, God wants to hear the real you. And it's okay for you to verbalize, this is how I'm feeling. Because what happens is, when you don't verbalize at times in a right setting what you're feeling, that stuff gets bottled up. And eventually it comes out in a wrong way. And now you have bigger issues that you have to deal with. Instead of processing with God how you really feel, if you don't think it's okay to process with God, just read the book of Psalms. Read how David was being nice. Even Job questioned God. There's a relationship that was there. Even in the Old Testament where Abraham was dealing with the whole Sodom and Gomorrah issue. Remember that whole issue that was taking place? And Lord, don't destroy the city. And he was being bold. Lord, if you find 10, will you do it? If I find 10, I won't. Jesus is like, it ain't going to be 10 here. It's going, right? But it's okay. And what we do is we're not the real us. He wants the real you. You got to pardon God, because God's going to do things you don't like. And the enemy, what he will do is he will get you to think about, and if you're not careful and you're not really standing on that firm foundation, you will think about what you went through in order to get where you are, and it will evoke feelings of, you really God? because of what you had to get through to get where you are. And am I talking to myself? Come on, man. And when you look past it, you can see the goodness of God in the midst of it. And you thank God you went through what you went through because it made you who you are today. But the process wasn't easy at the time. And sometimes you just have to stabilize yourself and remember that, okay, he worked it out. He allowed it. He allowed that. Yeah. And if we can't get over the sovereignty of God and his allowability, then we will stop short of experiencing fullness of God. Because we will only see God as a good, loving Father who keeps us from all harm. And that is not what a good, loving Father does. A good, loving Father exposes you and says, we'll see how you're going to react. And maybe, I can remember when I was younger, I'm just telling on myself today a little bit. Going through things and just family of origin stuff and dealing with things on different levels, that how God used those things to help make me who I was today. And be okay with the hardship of life. Be okay. We have a lot of entitled Christians. Man, I'm entitled. I'm entitled to Jesus coming through for me. I'm entitled. And we got a lot of people just, I'm entitled. Because who I am, you're not entitled. And it becomes about, the position, right? Well, I got a position in God. This is what I do. I'm a preacher. I'm evangelist Billy Joe Bob. And all of a sudden, we start going through all this stuff. This is who I am. And when we get down to it, but Billy Joe Bob has a porn addiction. But Billy Joe Bob is an abuser. All these different things. Who cares about your position? I thank God that he... thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I have praise breaks myself because I remember stuff that he took me through. I said, don't even look at that stuff. It's sick. Just taking me through hardship. So I didn't exalt ministry over God. Where he took me where I was and said, I'm taking you from where you are to where you are now, but I'm going to give you a different perspective so you don't run like they run. Oh. So you don't have to get lulled into sleep about some person who's up here. They're just a man. They're just a man. Thank God that I grew up where I grew up and had to deal with what I had to deal with. Because when I look at you, I can call you out on your stuff and be okay with it. Because God didn't make me some soft preacher or some soft person who needs affirmation daily. But it made me who I was to be able to take hardship, be hardened by it, honed by it, so that you can deal with life. And not have to be so infatuated with what you see here. Deal with life, because when the lights go off and it's just you and God, dealing with life, dealing with pressure, dealing with, is God going to come through? That's where it's at. That's where faith is needed. That stuff. Not on Sunday morning when it's just an hour and 20 minutes of praise of God. It's all needed there. But when the rubber meets the road, faith is needed when you're sleeping at 12 o'clock at night and you don't know if God's going to come through, but he says, I'm here. That's where faith is needed and gives you this strength to get up next day and say, all right, let's get at it again. Let's do it again. I like it. Let's do it again. We got to pardon God for the process. I'm all for the gift of tongues. I got it. I'm all for it. It is not your fix for God to take you out of stuff. It is strength you need to break through. Not to get you out, so you can break through and get wisdom from headquarters in the midst of what's taking place here. I'm all for the gifts. I'm all for them. God gives them. He said, listen, I desire that every one of you, Paul even talks about it, desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. But really what I want for you, Marie, he said, is I want you to desire love, because that's the greatest gift. That's first. If I don't love God, if there's not a relationship with God first, everything else I do doesn't matter. Thank you, Jesus, for every idol being torn down. Every stuff that you used to look at that you loved. You ought to just thank him, Lord, just for changing your taste buds. Oh, man. I thank God for helping me being just doing life with people who are rugged. Who are not so spiritually in their head about stuff that they don't know how to fight or just deal with life. I thank God and you can tell if you've been around long enough, and you can really tell where people who are fighters and you know how to struggle, there's a camaraderie that's like, okay, they got it good. I can deal with them, and you're okay with them. But the moment that it gets too fruity, I can't talk to you anymore, man. You rubber my back too soft for too long, get out. We got to pardon God for the process. Some of y'all have been abused. I understand that. You've been neglected. I understand that. What are you going to do with the disappointment of that? Is it going to thrust you further down into sin or addiction? Or are you going to continue to, or are you going to release it to God and say, God, help me to walk this thing out? Amen. Why? You got a choice. You're not the only one. You'd be surprised at the stories that people would tell if they would tell them. You don't think so? There's a bug on the wall in a counselor's office. You don't think that people aren't telling? There are stuff that people don't tell you because it's too overwhelming. So what I'm telling you is that you have to deal with the trauma of your life, but at the same time, trust that there's a God who's sovereign over your life. You can't take one without the other. You can't, well, God's a God of love. God, read the Old Testament. Look at your life. Look at the reality of life. Parents were sacrificing their kids to false gods in the Old Testament because they thought that wasn't the best practice. There was sexual promiscuity taking place all throughout the Old Testament. Bestiality, things were taking place all in the midst of God being sovereign. But God's sovereign. He is sovereign. You got to take the good with the ugly. You can't just read 1 John and 2 John. I can't read 1 John more than 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I love y'all. I can't do it. He's trying to help. I tried to, Lord, help me. It's not working. I mean, I like the whole greater is he that is in me. I got that part. I like that part. But when it's all, every other word is like love and love and love. I can't do it all. I'm just being honest with you. I got to be honest. And there's too many of them. It's John, then 1 John, and 2nd, and 3rd. Come on, man. Jeez. How much? I got it, bro. He's got a lot. I got it on the first one. For God so loved, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, I got it. Okay? But you got to be able to take the good. You got to take the fact that people were sacrificed for this thing. You got to take the fact that people died in the name of this country. What are you going to do with that? You got to pardon, release God from what you think how life should be. Your life is not what you thought it would be. It's not your life. It's not. He's the creator. He created you. He knows how your life should go. When things should break and when they should not. He knows what it's going to take for you to become what he's called you to become. And it's only your road. Are you telling me there were certain things you probably could have avoided? Maybe. But why? That's the road. Even in all the stuff that I did that was dumb, God still was good. Even the stuff that I did in the face of God, God still was good. Even being honest with God and honest with people, God was still good. Even when I put my foot in my mouth, God is still good. Even when I fall short, God is still good. The process is still the process. Even when I don't make it, God is still good. Even when my thoughts don't align with God's thoughts, God is still good. It emphasizes God's goodness over mine. It's the process, part of the process. You're not perfect. You fall short. God knows this is life. Get out and live it. No, I can't. Get out and live it. It's too rough. Get out and live it. Why was there such an urgency when we went through COVID the last several years in this church? I believe God was adamant about get through it. Keep going through it. Don't stop. Keep going through it. It's part of the process. Just go through it. You might get sick. You might almost die, but go through it. It's worth almost dying and living than not doing anything at all. God said, live. Get out and live. You may not make it, but at least you live. At least you did something. At least you have a mark. At least you fought. At least you did something. And you didn't just sit on the sideline. God's imploring you, even through divorce, even through death, even through abandonment, even through divorces, plural, all that stuff, live. It doesn't mean you don't heal. It doesn't mean you don't go through process, but God's heart was not for you to get stuck. Why is there excitement? It's God's heart for you to get up and go. But I'm cut. Me too. You learn to deal with it and move on. Do you honestly think the rest of your life, just because you got saved and just because God healed you up, and do you think the rest of your life, nothing's going to happen to you? And this is a thought process that you have to help people with. Well, he saved me, and we're excited about his salvation. But you still have to live and get out on the field and strap up and play. I remember when I was little. This will show you my mindset, how sick I am. It's the way it is. I just got outside, and me and my dad used to throw the football. And, you know, I love sports. I love all that, besides the massive debacle of the New York Yankees right now. But that's just another story. What a disappointment. It's just, I'm okay, though. Why? Solid rock. I would go out and do passes, and I would do my routes, and it was always an in route, okay? And I would tell them to throw it harder every time because my reflexes were so good. I would go, and I'd catch, and I'd say, do it harder. I wanted a challenge. Do it harder. And he would be firing. He was younger. He was doing it. I would catch it every time. And it regressed to where I said, all right, let's do it on the cement. And so we started doing it on cement, and I would do this and catch it and fall on the cement. Get back up again. Do it again. Fall on the cement. Loved it. Why? Get used to it. Get used to the pain of falling, but still catching. Get used to the pain of receiving, but also know that something might hit you. It might cut you when you fall. Just get used to it, young age, just repetitively doing it until I just got used. It's not good enough for me anymore. I needed more challenge. I got used to the pain. I need something else. So here's the deal. A lot of people today didn't have that growing up, didn't have that wake-up call with Jesus until later in life. So they're having to deal with life later. and you're going through all this stuff and bewilderment and pain, and you don't know what to do. What do I do? What do I turn to? I don't know. I don't. And they're caught in between. Mask or no mask. Girl or boy. I don't know. And they don't have a foundation. They don't know what, because their life's been turned upside down. The process of God has been too overwhelming. I used to go here, but now I can't go there anymore. That used to be my job, but now it's not my job anymore. What do I do? And Jesus is pulling out all the rugs. What are you going to go now? And now you're wobbling. Not used to it. And he's having to catch some of his kids up. I got to catch you up on the process because you're late. Well, no, he's not, brother, because God's always on time. But I'm telling you right now that God is inducing some of his kids quicker so that he can help birth their freedom quicker. You know what inducing means? Things aren't happening fast enough. Until finally they say, we got to induce you. This baby's in too long. And eventually they get in, induce the baby, it comes out. Some of you in here, and what God's doing, he said, listen, you've been carrying that offense too long. It's killing you. I got to speed up the process so you can get it out. You got to get that grief out. You got to get the disappointment out because it's killing you, and I'm inducing it. Guess what? I'm pulling everything that you used to hook into and used to stand on, all that stuff, until it's you and me, until we can help break your water so that the river of life that I promised you can begin to flow in your life again and be able to refresh your soul, because there's so many things in your life that are dead that I'm trying to get out, but you're not letting me in, so I'm going to force it. And so he's doing it now. And people are buttoned up against stuff, and God's saying, just let me in and let me get it out, because I know the freedom that's on the other side. God said, let me induce you. And he's doing it. I've got to get to it. Because you've been dancing around it and holding on to it. And God said, I got to get to it quicker. And that means that it's going to be more pressure. Because that's what inducing means. So that baby finally says, I got to come out. And the same thing with you. God's going to push you up to that edge until where you can't take anymore, until what has to come out. And it's going to come out. In grief. It's going to come out. Emotional, your emotional dam's going to break. Because that's what some of you are needing. A dam break. Not in the way you think it is, but a dam break. So that things can actually begin to work for you. It's not, the word of God is true. It works. But sometimes it comes up against resistance. And you're going to keep running in that word until it breaks. Remember I told you last week, we talked about American Ninja Warrior, about going up that wall? Every time. You may miss it, but you go back up. And you try again. And God keeps telling you to go up, because eventually you're going to hook it. And pull yourself up. But you can't get up to that level unless what's weighing you down is stripped. And some of you got that stuff from your past that you're still holding on to. Got to learn to forgive. Third thing is this. Band, come on up. You got to pardon yourself. Some of y'all need to forgive yourself. You look back over your life, you look, man, I can't believe it happened this way. I can't believe it got this far. You are not perfect. You are not God. There are going to be things that you try in the first time you will not get. That includes marriage for some of y'all. There'll be some things that you try in the second time you may not get. But you got to think, it's a perfection process. You're being perfected. You're not perfect. You're being perfected. And the one thing that's amazing about the grace of God is that it's so immeasurably bigger than what you can think. it allots you the freedom and the ability to get it. Get it. To get there. I'm going to get up and do it again. Got to forgive yourself. Some of y'all look at yourself, man, I got so many weaknesses in my life. Yeah? Okay. Don't you think that God has the ability to turn some of those weaknesses into strengths? Three people said yes, because the fact of the matter is like, no, not really. But he has the ability to turn some of the weakness. And even if he doesn't turn that weakness, isn't his strength made perfect in weakness? So you might be able to, you might be praying for something that you're asking God to change, or God saying, I'm not going to change it, but I'll give you the grace to stand it. There are certain things that I developed over time. There are other things I'm not good at. Sometimes you have to navigate and find which one is which. On the flip side, some people will never try something new, or they'll never work at something because it's too hard or difficult. And not realizing that it's that very attitude of working that might give you the skill that you need to eventually break through. And God will send you into different seasons to work on stuff. That's okay, I need you to work on that this season because you're going to need that next season. Okay. I wasn't great at algebra in seventh grade. By the time I got to high school, I was fantastic. I worked at it. It was something that God gave me the ability for numbers. And I just got things quicker. Now, the rest of my family is different. They always ask me, Dad, what's this? Oh, okay, good. That's just something that God, I could look back and God gifting me with that. There are certain things that God has gifted you with. You just have a tendency to roll there. You can, when it comes to English, you're like, boom, I got English. I know what a purpose, I know how to diagram, I know what a predicate, I know how to do the tilt, I know all of it. You can look at it, I know the period, that's just something that God has gifted you and that ability to do it. I can counsel. God gave you the ability by his grace to be able to counsel people. I don't find out at 12 that I'm a counselor. But through life and what I went through, all of a sudden God begins to illuminate through me. Hey, I had this for you the whole time, but I had to do some stuff in you to make you empathetic with people. God does that stuff. And so that's why you got to release. That's why forgiveness is a huge deal. You got to be able to forgive other people what they did to you, because you don't realize that God is using them to work out his plan in your life. And all of a sudden you're becoming better because of that experience. And you begin to see, oh my God, that was actually for my good. Thank you for leaving me. Thank you for what you did. Imagine doing that. Turning around and saying, my God, it hurt like hell. But thank you. Thank you for not showing up, because it showed me where my reliance had to be. It had to be on Jesus. Thank you for coming against me, because it helped me strengthen my faith. Thank you for not believing in me, because guess what? I started to trust God for my identity, and I became more confident in who I was. And I began to see that, oh, if God is for me, who could be against me? If God is walking with me, who can overcome it? I began to see certain things. Thank you so much for allowing me to hone in on some of my skills, because me and God have been going to work in his shop. That's y'all, this Christmas, man, you don't have to send them out, but you should be in your house like this. Thank you, Ben, for crushing my heart at 12. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dan, for leaving me, because it forced me to recognize that my hope is not in you. It's in Jesus. Kiss at the end. 3, thank you for hurting my feelings when I was 8 and recognizing that I really wasn't for you, and because God began to separate me and bring me to the people who I was supposed to be with. Thank you. You need to have all that gratitude. You just change. Instead of being like, I'm angry at you, I'm angry at you, God said, if you will look at it from my perspective, it was good for you. It was good for you. They left. You look better.
actually do.
Change the person. I know it hurts. No one's denying the process. But we have to look at it differently. And then look at it from the perspective, Lord, I know I don't see it. But I know you're working it out. Because in the end, I'm going to come forth out of this thing. Let's all stand on our feet if we could.